Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Last Sunday, we considered the subject of the why of missions. And we used God's vantage point to consider the why of missions. Specifically, the vantage point that was recorded in Genesis 1:31, where his vantage point, God looked upon all that he had made, and he said that it was very good. God's vantage point, what I have made here is very good. It's good for them, and it's good for me. So we contrasted last Sunday what God's vantage point might be now. So Genesis 1:31, now in the year 2018, God's vantage point now upon an earth that he made, and upon maybe the view of what they say, whoever they are, but they say there's 7.3 billion people on his earth now. So last Sunday, we kind of contrasted the vantage point of Genesis to the now, knowing that it was very, very good, and we defined it, and now the vantage point that God has upon his enormous earth with an enormous amount of people, it's not as good. And we're thankful that God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he did something about it. Christ died for us so that we do not have to live in anything less than a very, very good for our lives and on earth. We noted the two-prong approach that God has to bring us back to our very good. There's, of course, the eternal plan. That Bible describes that moment of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is imminent. That day when we will be ushered into eternity. And for many, that will be a very good again. It'll be a very good for all eternity. In the meantime, until that very good, we are a part of the earthly plan that was initiated, of course, we see in Scripture, and solicits the people of God to participate in activities that, of course, are close to the heart of God. So last week was the why. Let's just briefly consider the how this morning. And I want to take us to a passage in Scripture that I've come to appreciate, perhaps as the first time a missions team was commissioned to go. Many of you, as I get to know you, have been a part of short-term missions, and certainly the families, I know most of those families personally, and I know their stories and your story. I remember my first short-term mission trip. It was into northern Quebec. It was with a bunch of high school students, and we went to Mistissini, Quebec, and we lived amongst some First Nations people in their community, and it was absolutely fabulous. I had the privilege of being the first guest to participate in a public water baptism in Lake Mistassini. Fascinating. The water was cold, I do remember. But I remember the humbly serving. What an honor to baptize community friends, and of course even some people from our team. But to get ready for that, we had to get organized. And we had that organization involved gathering as a team and kind of defining what our expectation would be of each other, and then how will we prepare ourselves to serve. And we did some VBS kids camp stuff, and we did some services and all that went with it. So we trained ourselves. In Luke chapter 10, we kind of find ourselves here where Jesus is beginning now to release responsibility, and at first in Luke chapter 10, it's to 72, and that's a pretty large missions team. Ours was 20-something on a bus. This was 72, a little bigger. They're moving by foot. But I want to show you this passage, this little training session of that first church missions trip experience. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 9. Let me just read the 9 verses and let's paint a picture, and let's go to the classroom today. The Lord now chose 72 others, disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who was in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Verse 3, now go And remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's house, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from house to house or from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. Verse 8, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Verse 9, heal the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. Kind of picture the classroom here. And let's kind of walk out this commissioning of those first followers. Notice immediately in verse 1 and 2, notice that this strategy for mission, it's not a come and gather approach, it's a go out and be among approach. And understanding the direction of that is key to understanding the how of missions. The plan involves, as Jesus began quickly as this team was formed, to help them understand that he saw them as sent people, followers of the way, being not sent alone, but being sent as partners with partners. I'm really thankful that Living Waters has a well-thought-through strategic partnership and relationship with many of the families that we're introducing. Basically, what it means to have strategy is to establish priority. That's what strategy is. It means to make a priority of something. And global work best advances when people make a priority of relationship and responsibility. So at Living Waters, the priority shows itself in budgeting. It shows itself in two Sundays like this and in May as well. It shows itself in continually interesting or desiring to have an interest to continually highlight these families, their victories, and their difficult seasons. But what Jesus was getting at in this little team meeting is he was saying, okay, if you are unable to go, the Great Commission says you will send. And how important to understand that principle. These families have been able to go, and we have sent them. If we are not able to go, the Great Commission says, then you must send. And I'm glad that Living Waters Church believes that. They're sent to places he was going to be or going to go. He was already thinking about the places where he was sending these 36 pairs of this 36 pairs of people. He was sending them to the places that were already on his mind. See, being sent means that we then take the position of following and not leading. And that actually is what being one who follows a mission-minded God needs to accept. We follow the leader. Follow the leader of the mission. We don't stir up the work of God. We join him in his work. And that's an interesting thing to consider. So notice again the action of this. So there's the definition. You're sent people. Now notice the action. The first thing Jesus says is, I want you to note something about where I'm sending you. The harvest is great and the workers are few. So you're outnumbered, right? You're outnumbered. And how interesting, in Luke 10, and still today, the workers are few. Ever notice that? There's always a greater need than there are the great amount of volunteers. How interesting. It hasn't really changed too much when you think again about the 7.3 billion people on the earth. So Jesus is just giving us a heads up. We need more. And in order to engage more, Jesus said, my first missional responsibility upon you is, verse 2, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers. How interesting that the first thing, the number one that Jesus has in his mind for the strategic outflow of mission is that we would pray as intercessors for more laborers. What an interesting place to start. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. So again, this is not a suggestion. It's a responsibility, right? 10:02. I notice in Scripture that there's a few places in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus says, perhaps you can use this language of prayer. And in Luke chapter 2, I think it's the only other place. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus says, I want you to pray this. Lord of the harvest, send more laborers. I have on my phone, I try to take this responsibly, 10:02. It's my responsibility as a mission follower of the mission of mine. On 10:02 a.m., I have a pop-up on my phone. I've already deleted it or swiped it. But at 10:02 a.m., it pops up on my phone, a reminder, Dave, pray to the Lord of the harvest. So how wonderful it is to partner and say, God, send more laborers to Fort Langley. Send more laborers to Willoughby. Send more laborers into Langley and the surrounding area. Send more laborers across our region, across our nation, and around the world. And Jesus was saying, this is where it starts. So we do need to consider our prayers. Next thing Jesus says is I want you to, as you go, so definition, prayer, go together. Where are we going? We are going to find people of peace, or as the scripture says, the people of welcome. This strategic plan was to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth and discover what God is doing specifically in the lives of individuals. Find people that will welcome you who you can also welcome. And that, of course, is where true community begins. When we welcome each other into our lives, and it has to go two ways. If you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat whatever is set before you. And then verse 9, Jesus says, at that point, I encourage you to heal the sick or to help people. Help people. Help people. Move forward as an intercessor and move forward with this catalytic question called, how can I help you? That's the question that releases mission everywhere in the world today. How can I help you? What's your need and how can I help you? That's the question. How can I help you? It's a question that releases people and families and churches without assumptions to fulfill the Great Commission. How can we help you? How can I help you? In Acts 1 says, in my Jerusalem, my hometown, how can I help? In my region or my Judea or my region provincially, how am I helping? In my Samaria or within my country, how am I helping? And of course, in the perspective of the ends of the earth internationally, how am I helping? And of course, as a church, how are we helping? The catalytic question. And then finally, so a bit of identity, intercession, relationship, people of peace, curious question. And then finally, and tell them that the kingdom of God is near you. Notice that mission doesn't begin with proclamation. It ends with proclamation, but it doesn't begin with proclamation. We need to take note of that. Notice that the work of the people of peace is first, followed by then the sharing of the peaceful word. The kingdom of God has come near you. So I'm not sure how you're processing global work today. I'm not sure, what your next step would be, what your next prayer will be, what your next step will be, what your next donation will be. I'm confident that you'll make a good decision, but my prayer is, I know it's Ryan's prayer, our prayer is that you would take a next step in a mission relationship this coming year. And again, we do find ourselves motivated again by the why. And the why of mission is because we need to try to make it very good again, right, for people. Because for a lot of people, things are not very good. And we're called to help make a difference in people's lives. Let's pray. Lord of the harvest, we know from your vantage point today, as you look across your earth, We stand amongst the 7.3 billion people that you see today. We thank you for your determination and your interest to make things very good again for people on your earth. We ask again today that you would, through the work of your Spirit, that you would enlist us again and again and again as intercessors, as partners, as people of peace, as people that can help, and as proclaimers. Lord, I thank you. I truly believe that you're reaching out today to send people to the ends of the earth. Thank you for the good example through video and story today of people that are sent ones and even to the ends of the earth. And as we take our place as being sent locally, provincially, internationally, we do take our place as followers of you, followers of the way. So help us, Lord, we pray, to make missions a priority in terms of relationship, generosity, and ultimately to be helping hands locally and abroad. We ask your blessing upon our work together as we seek to be influencers so that you, again, would have people to work with, people to work for you, and help relieve the pain in so many people's lives. Thanks for this morning. Thank you for a good time of worship, and thank you for a good relationship in this room and a good commissioning as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.